Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in 2 Samuel, Old Testament, chapter 9, and there are 13 verses in this chapter. And then we have a couple of letters to read. We have one from Italy, and the other one is from Africa. And then there's part two in the series of the natural constitution of man. It's actually, this message is contrasting the natural man with the resurrection. And so let's ask the Lord now to anoint the service. Anoint this tape, Lord God. Anoint me. Anoint the reader. Anoint everyone. Open our ears, anoint everyone with a hearing ear, and a hearing heart, and a hearing spirit, a hearing soul, to receive everything from you that you want them to hear. And Lord, let them not just hear it, but there's so few people that will walk in the spirit that it destroys the natural constitution or the natural man, so that they're not sitting idle any longer and walking according just to their attributes, but that they are walking in the spirit and putting to death the naturalness of their constitution, that they might become actively a walking in the spirit. Lord, you cannot use a person who is shiftless or doesn't work, and you can't use a stupid person, somebody that is just absolutely stupid, and somebody that has no desire to do the things that your word tells us that we are to do. And what does your word tell us to do but to walk not after the flesh, the natural constitution, but after the Holy Spirit? Because your spirit moves on us, or you'll move on us. Many times we think we're doing the right thing, and we can plainly see after we do what we think, or what our opinion is, or our idea of that which is right, we see that there's no blessing of the living God on it. And so therefore, Lord, these messages from you are geared to cause people to not lean onto their own understanding, but in every way yield their members unto the Lord, the Spirit of God. Lord, resurrect, cause everyone to be filled with your spirit, that their natural constitution, the natural man, will be destroyed, that their life will be totally crucified, their old man will be totally crucified with you, and that they will bear the cross, which is the same thing as bearing the Spirit, being born of the Spirit. We know that when your Spirit is living in us, that's your work. But it's our work that the Spirit be upon us on the outward man, that people are able to see you at work on us outwardly. People cannot see you working on us inwardly, but they can see the things that we are doing outwardly. So when you tell us to walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, that is our responsibility, Lord, to cause our flesh to be under the control of the Holy Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to subject ourselves to the control of the Holy Spirit, so that people can see you working not only in us, which they can't see, but to see the inner workings shining on the outward appearance, the evidence of the Holy Spirit on us outwardly. Lord, this is your teachings. This is the final teachings that we're going to be doing in this series, is how to be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which we'll be getting into after this particular series regarding the natural constitution versus the resurrection, or the resurrection versus our natural constitution, the natural man. So Lord, bless the reading of the letters, chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, and its 13 verses, and the commentary, and also, Lord, part 2 of this series of the natural constitution and the resurrection, paralleling the constitution, the naturalness of man, the Adamic man, versus Christ's resurrection, the resurrection of Christ living in us because we're crucified, our old man is crucified with him. Lord, we ask all these things, that the work, your work in us and through us, might be done on this earth, that your kingdom be established here as it is in heaven, and everyone says a mighty amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go. Let's go with the two letters, please. One from Napoli.
Yes.
And the other one from Coca.
Kogi State.
Kogi State, Africa, okay? Then what?
Okay, the first one, Napoli, Italy.
That's Naples, Italy, where the great Caruso is from. And a lot of the people are said to eat lots of spaghetti over there. And now they're eating the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Not Catholicism, but the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Let's hear it.
Dear Pastor, I am very, very grateful to write you today. How are you and your ministries? I hope and I believe in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ that you are fine and your ministries are very well in Jesus' name. Pastor, I thank you and your ministries for what you have done for me, for your Bible literature and the Messiah, etc.
The Messiah book is what he means, okay? That tells of the 333 prophecies of Christ, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt, undisputable proof that Jesus really is the Messiah, the living God. All right, then what?
May God bless you in the ministries, and may God continue to enlarge the ministries even unto Italy here and around the world. Please, Pastor, your literature helped me stand before the congregation to preach the gospel to the people, and in my church now I am a member of the prayer warriors. I thank you and your ministries that I have power in the name of Jesus to stand in the pulpit to share the word of God to the congregation. I will end here, your son in Christ, G.B., from Napoli, Italy.
Napoli, okay. That's Naples. Then what?
And the next one's from Kogi State, Nigeria. Dear Pastor Tony, greetings. May the peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ always be with you and your family. You are, by the grace of God, a great pastor. You are mightily used to win thousands and thousands of souls for Christ worldwide.
So you know what great means? It just means that we're getting big, you know, it's like we're going around the world, so that's big. Doesn't mean that we're, that I'm still about 5'10", so I'm no greater in stature, and we're just getting spreading out, and it's not us, it's the Lord, amen?
Amen.
So the Lord is really the great one, the powerful one, the mighty one, and all we're doing is just telling his word, and his word is taking hold and bringing forth fruit. It's like God's farm. We're sowing the seed, which is the Word of God, and it's producing souls. Amen?
Amen.
That love the Lord.
Amen.
And so it's not us. It's the Word of God that has the Spirit of God in it. And God, to God be the glory. Amen?
Amen.
For everything that he's doing. Then what else?
May the good Lord continue to strengthen you and your ministry. I have not been a serious Christian, but became born again, that is, gave my life to Jesus after reading your wonderful and great literature. It is a wonderful experience. I thank God for you and for using you greatly. Through your great literature, I was able to share the Word of God with a few young and old people. To the glory of God, the numerical strength of the congregation has risen over and over again. I am happy to report to you that not only is the congregation growing fast in number, but that we are equally growing in the faith. I beg you to remember us in your prayers. I pray that Christ may continue to bless you and grant you peace, good health of body and mind, and keep you and your family.
And we pray that God will anoint and bless you as well. Amen, in every way. Praise the Lord. Then what?
I would like you to kindly send me 10 copies of Pastor Alamo's book, The Messiah, 20 copies of your great literature books, and some Bibles for use to share out to the Embraer congregation and others. Pastor, I shall be grateful to you if you can get me on your regular mailing list. I pray fervently that God may grant you the opportunity to visit our country, Nigeria, in the near future. Remain richly blessed in Christ, waiting for your kindest reply soon. Yours sincerely in Christ, Y.W. from Kogi State, Nigeria.
Africa. All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much, Michelle. And now, Sharon, 2 Samuel chapter 9.
King David's kindness to Mephibosheth. King James Version, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Verse 2. And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." Verse 3. And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul, that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." Verse 4. And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Verse 5. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Verse 6. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold thy servant." Verse 7. And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." Translation, verse 1 through 7. King David's kindness to Mephibosheth. One day David began wondering if anyone from Saul's family was still alive, for he had promised Jonathan that he would show kindness to them. Verse 2. He summoned a man named Ziba, who had been one of Saul's servants. Quote, "Are you Ziba?" the king asked. Quote, "Yes, sir, I am," Ziba replied. Verse 3. The king then asked him, quote, "Is anyone still alive from Saul's family? If so, I want to show God's kindness to them in any way I can." Unquote. Ziba replied, quote, "Yes, one of Jonathan's sons is still alive, but he is crippled." Unquote. Verse 4, quote, "Where is he?" the king asked. Quote, "In Lodabar," Ziba told him, "at the home of Machir, son of Ammiel." Unquote. Verse 5, so David sent for him and brought him from Machir's home. Verse 6, his name was Mephibosheth. He was Jonathan's son and Saul's grandson. When he came to David, he bowed low in great fear and said, quote, "I am your servant," unquote. Verse 7. But David said, quote, "Don't be afraid!" Exclamation mark. "I've asked you to come so that I can be kind to you because of my vow to your father, Jonathan. I will give you all the land that once belonged to your grandfather, Saul, and you may live here with me at the palace!" Exclamation mark, unquote. King James Version, verse 8. And he bowed himself and said, What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Verse 9. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Verse 10. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Verse 11. Then said Ziba unto the king, According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Verse 12. And Mephibosheth had a young son, whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. Verse 13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both his feet. Translation, verse 8 through 13. Mephibosheth fell to the ground before the king. Quote, Should the king show such kindness to a dead dog like me? He exclaimed. Verse 9. Then the king summoned Saul's servant Ziba and said, quote, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. Verse 10. You and your sons and servants are to farm the land for him to produce food for his family. But Mephibosheth will live here at the palace with me. Unquote. Ziba, who had 15 sons and 20 servants, replied, verse 11, quote, Yes, my lord, I will do all that you have commanded. Unquote. And from that time on, Mephibosheth ate regularly with David as though he were one of his own sons. Verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son named Micah, and from then on, all the members of Ziba's household were Mephibosheth's servants. Verse 13. And Mephibosheth, who was crippled in both feet, moved to Jerusalem to live at the palace.
Okay, that was the translation, the 13 verses, 2 Samuel chapter 9. And now we've got some commentary.
9 verse 1. Quote, For Jonathan's sake, unquote. This goes back to the covenant friendship and kindness that David and Jonathan had made to one another in 1 Samuel chapter 20, verses 13 through 17. 9 verse 2. Ziba probably farmed the land of Saul in Gibeah with his 15 sons and 20 servants. 9 verse 3. David sees himself as acting in behalf of God. In his graciousness to Mephibosheth, he illustrates the kindness of God. When Mephibosheth was 5 years old, he and his nurse were fleeing for their lives after the death of Saul and Jonathan at the Battle of Jezreel. Mephibosheth had fallen and become lame in his feet. 9 verse 4. Maker is mentioned in chapter 17, verse 27. He was a wealthy man who took the young orphan to his house after Jonathan's death. His residence was Lodabar in the wilderness east of the Jordan River in Ammon and near present-day Ammon in Jordan. 9 verse 7. The land that David restores is likely that which Ziba was farming near Gibeah. Quote, Be fed at my table. Unquote. Mephibosheth is put on the royal pension for the rest of his life. He lives as one of the king's sons and even eats at the king's table. 9 verse 8. Quote, Dead dog, unquote, represents a person of no value. Mephibosheth likely had never heard of David's friendship with Jonathan in that he was only 5 years old when his father died. 9 verse 10. David gives to Mephibosheth as his inheritance the land of Zeboah's army, and which Ziba, his servants and sons, would now work for him. 9, verse 11. Mephibosheth would be like one of the king's sons. In all of this, David was a type of our Lord, who redeems, restores, and returns us to our Father's table in peace. 9, verse 1 through 7. David had promised to treat Saul's family well for the sake of his friend Jonathan. Though many years had passed since the promise had been given, David was true to it. He had honored the memory of Jonathan by offering Mephibosheth a place in his household. David stood by his word and did what he could to set right a painful conflict from his past. Being responsible for our promises and dealing with our past conflicts are important aspects of being saved and for us to be able to stay saved.
All right. That was 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 13, translation and commentary. And now we've had the two letters also, one from Napoli and the other one from Africa. And now this is part two in the series of the natural constitution, verses 4, and resurrection. Natural constitution, contrasting natural constitution of man with the resurrection of Christ and our resurrection in him. All right, let's begin.
The difference between the natural self and the resurrection. Part 2. I've defined the natural constitution, or the natural man, is that which pertains to a man's personal ability, a man's personal capability, or man's wisdom, man's cleverness, because all these are derived from our natural life.
In other words, our carnal life, the things that we're born with, just the essence of ourselves. Then what?
We were born with it, more than likely. It's not given to us from the resurrection life of God, because before we're saved, we're not dead yet, or we're not resurrected yet.
No, it's not given to us in the resurrection life, because resurrection and natural constitution are enemies. The Spirit of God is the enemy to the flesh, the self, the natural constitution. The Spirit wants to destroy the natural self, and the natural self wants to destroy the Spirit. The Bible tells of that struggle. Amen?
Amen.
One is against the other. Okay, then what else?
All these abilities are acquired just naturally. They don't spring forth from resurrection by passing through the breaking of the cross, the breaking of the word.
Now, the breaking of the cross means that the cross is just as is the same thing as the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, the breaking of the Holy Spirit, means that the Holy Spirit is out to break you, the self, the you, your opinions, your ideas. So this is the same thing with Holy Spirit as the cross. So when I say the breaking of the cross, that means the cross or the Holy Spirit needs to break you. And if you have received the breaking of the cross, then you're a broken individual. And if you're broken, then the Spirit of the Lord is able to enter you and live in you and work in you and through you to others. Okay, so read that line again.
They don't spring forth from resurrection by passing through the breaking of the cross, the breaking of the word, the breaking in Christ.
See, the word is also spirit in life. Amen?
Amen.
The cross is the Holy Spirit resurrection. And the one that murders self, the old life. That's the cross, amen?
Amen?
The Word, the cross, the Spirit, all one and the same. Then what?
The difference between the natural man or constitution and the spiritual man and resurrected life is incredibly vast.
When the exact opposite is the same as night and day. Amen?
Amen.
Go ahead.
When we deal with the natural constitution or natural man, it is that our inherent ability, our natural capability, our natural wisdom and natural cleverness may pass through the death of the cross, become resurrection, and thereby become acceptable and useful to God.
Right, so the natural abilities and cleverness and wisdom and knowledge and everything, this is good. It's not good of itself, but if it passes through the cross, the Spirit, and the Spirit breaks it to where it can be used for the Lord and not oneself. Amen? So the Lord is not opposed to knowledge, wisdom, understanding of what to do. God put me through a lot of different things in this life, and He's put you through a lot of different things, and He's put everybody through a lot of things that could be used for the ministry, but the naturalness of it has to be broken, has to be used by the Spirit, has to become spiritual. Okay, then what?
A lot of people, when they hear about dealing with the natural man or their natural self, their natural flesh or constitution, they think that God doesn't want or doesn't need our ability or doesn't want or need our capability. But people who think that way are wrong. In order to be useful to God, we most certainly need to have ability, and we certainly need capability, even though it has to be broken. We can see very well in the Bible that the work of God on this earth requires man's cooperation. It's impossible for man to cooperate with God without possessing natural ability and natural capability, just as building materials cannot cooperate with God, like hammers, nails, wood, tile, roofing, stone, and so on.
Right, how's it going to cooperate with God? God tells us to take the stone and the wood. He tells us to subdue the earth and form it into whatever we want. Amen?
Amen.
To make it livable. Subdue the earth. Amen? Rule the world. I put you here to rule it, not for it to rule you. Amen?
Amen.
Take it by the bull by the horns, so to speak. Amen?
Yeah.
And then what?
These things cannot cooperate with God. It's also true that foolish and incapable humans cannot cooperate with God either.
No, if you're stupid, you can't cooperate with God because you don't know what to do. Amen? And if you're incapable, what can you do? Amen? But God doesn't say, kill them. If they're incapable, if they're paralyzed, or if they're in a bed, and say, pull the tube on, don't feed them or give them water, he says, because we're to comfort the feeble-minded. Amen?
Amen.
That's part of our work, okay, is to not be so hardened that you don't take care of the handicapped. You have to help them, all right? And take care of them in every way. Right?
Right.
That's why God is good. It's because He tells us good things to do for people. Amen?
Amen.
And He's done good things and great and mighty things for us. We have to be kind and merciful, because if we are, then when we need mercy, it'll come our way. Whatever you sow, or I sow, or anybody sows, we're going to reap. Amen?
Amen.
So you have to have enough sense to know that. But there's so many people in the world that they can't see it that way. And so therefore, if you think you're smarter than God, then you're stupid. Stupid. Amen?
Yeah.
And you're totally incapable. Incapable mentally. And you're absolutely no good to God at all. Unless you're loving and kind and merciful and gentle. Now, we're not to be that way to the devil. You should see the attack, you know, the resistance that I'm giving to the devil for those that are wanting to kill this young lady in the hospital in Florida. I'm not going to be kind to those that want to kill her and starve her to death right before our very eyes. This is the exact opposite of God, and the exact opposite of God is anti-Christ, anti-God, anti-Christian, anti-common sense. Stupidity instead of intelligence. And these kind of people are lacking terribly, and so they're incapable of doing anything that's good. Apart from Christ, none of us can do anything. But if we have Christ, then we know for sure we're not using our own opinion or ideas about these things. We see that they're asking for people's opinion. But I'm not, and the true people that belong to Christ are not giving you their opinions. They're giving you what God said is the law. Amen?
Amen.
It's against the law to starve a dog to death. How much worse do you suppose it is for people to stand by and watch an anti-Christ government starve somebody to death? And they've been doing it for years in the hospitals. People act as though this is the first time this happened. I was outraged when they starved a little baby to death in the UCLA hospital in Los Angeles some 35 years ago. They've been doing this for years. It's going on all the time, just 2 weeks ago. And today's date is what?
25th.
25th of?
Beginning of the 26th.
This is 25th of March?
Yes.
2005, okay? So that you know, when you hear this tape, maybe 6 months or a year from now, you'll know what day it is here. And this has been going on for years. It had. This has been going on in Germany. Kill those that are not, that are invalids or mongoloid or just not what they call a help to their society. They are molding society through the media, telling everybody how they should think according to Satan. But this is why people need to read the Bible, because the Bible tells us how to think according to God. Amen?
Amen.
And we're not going to stand before Satan on the final day. We're going to stand before God at the judgment bar of God, or the mercy seat of Christ. And so you need to find out what God, how he wants you to be, and then get the Holy Spirit in you. First of all, get saved and let the Spirit resurrect you from your carnal opinions, ideas, and from your carnal life, so that you can be a person of God, a son of God, one going about doing good by the Spirit of God in you and through you. Okay, and then what else?
You can always say that a clever man is useless before God, but you can also say that a stupid one is less useful. You can also say that a humanly capable man is useless before God.
Yeah, I see, like a lot of kids say, well, the Lord's coming back to earth again, and so what good is it for us to go to school and learn things? Well, because I thought he was going to come back to earth again 40 years ago. He's going to be right back then. But all the signs had not happened. I was just a baby Christian. I didn't know all the signs that had to break forth before he comes back. And it may be a few years, or could be a few months or years, that the Lord's not coming back. And so you need to be educated so you're able to communicate with educated people, because if they sense that you're stupid, and God knows if you're stupid or not, he knows how much he can trust you with, or where he can place you in the body of Christ. If you're stupid, you can't be used. And if you're not a person that diligently seeks to have to know the general things that people know, or that you don't have any attributes whatsoever, you're incapable or as stupid, then you're not going to be able to be used by the Lord. Okay, so it's good to have knowledge and wisdom and use your natural wisdom, understanding, common sense, if you have it, whatever you've got, whatever God has given you as a your constitution, whatever you're constructed of, to use it for the Lord. And if you make a decision, use your own opinion, your own idea, and say, we don't need to be educated. Well, that's your opinion, and that's the old man in you. Your old man is speaking loud and clear. Some people can't even hardly read, and they just think they're so smart. How can you even read the Bible? How are you able to articulate to people if you don't know how to read and write and speak? People have a false idea of who they are and what they are. And everybody thinks they're geniuses. I've seen that in my life. Some people will humbly say, oh no, I'm just a poor... But then get them in a corner and watch them. I know, hey, you can't say that, you can't... They're telling you how to be. No matter how educated you are, they're smarter than you. And they're worse than that. They're smarter than God, because they don't think that you have to do these things when God says you must do them. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus had to learn. He studied the word, and he was a carpenter. He was able to do something. Amen?
Amen.
Peter and some of them were fishermen, but seems as though they were the best fishermen in the area. Amen?
Amen.
Very capable, but not capable without the Lord. The Lord, Peter says, no, we fished all night long and come up with nothing, but nevertheless, at your request, Lord, at your command, we'll throw in the net. And the boat almost sunk, amen, because
amen.
Of the fish that they got. So Jesus is the best fisherman. We need to obey the Lord. We need to not be stupid or act stupid or act which we think is the smart way to dress or the right way to do everything. There's a right and wrong way to do everything. It's a shame for men to have long hair. This is from the Bible. Amen?
Amen.
So get a haircut. Okay, then what?
You can also say that a humanly capable man is useless before God, but that the incapable people are even worse. Actually, all people who are useless in this world are also useless in the spiritual realm in the work of God.
Well, you know some of the useless people in the church. They just don't feel that they need to do anything, you know? Just sponge off the Lord. Just do as little as you can. So much as like the, you used to work at Bullock's department store in Los Angeles, Sharon, didn't you?
Yes.
And the actual ideas of the people that worked there was just do as little as you can, you know, when the people are not around, just rest. Don't knock yourself out.
Mm-hmm.
Say a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah, I was... you did what you had to do and nothing more. And whatever you could get away with, you did.
Yeah, just so you just did enough to keep the job. And there's people that like, you know, if the church is supporting them, providing a home and food and clothes and utilities and a vehicle and all that for them, then just do whatever you have to stay there, because you know you don't want to work. And you know that you're not educated enough to be out in the world and do anything. But just get by. Amen?
Amen.
And then if somebody says, so you have to leave, or, well, Lord, we do this and we do... Yes, but you don't do enough, okay? You're not knocking yourself out. You're not with the zeal that the Lord commands that we have. The Bible says, be zealous or I'll spit you out of my mouth. Jesus said that. Amen?
Amen.
And have love in the first love, which means to be concerned about human souls. No, If people are dying, I want to get the gospel to them first. Amen?
Amen.
And then if they receive that, then there's a chance, there's a great chance, if they have faith to receive healing, that they'll be healed. They'll stand upon their own two feet. They won't need somebody to feed them or give them drink. They can do it for themselves. God has done this millions of times. Jesus healed entire cities. And these signs shall follow those that believe. They shall cast out devils. Amen?
Amen.
They shall, because the power of God is living in you. And they shall raise the dead and lay hands on those that are sick, and they shall recover. And everything else that you saw the disciples of the Lord do, God can do through you. But you have to believe first. You have to believe that the Lord's Spirit is in you, and that that same Spirit that's in you is the same Spirit that was in the man, the body of Christ. So we're all members. If the Spirit of God is in you, then we're all, you're a member of the body of Christ, the body of God. And anything that he is capable of doing, he can do through you. Amen?
Amen.
And for others. If you don't believe that, then you need to pray. You need to read more of the Bible to see that this is exactly where you're supposed to be in the Lord, in the body of Christ. Okay, go ahead.
Throughout the life of all mankind, all people who have been used of the Lord God have been those who are capable. They came out of the world. The Word tells us that Moses was a very capable person and that he had a lot of ability. He had foresight and man's wisdom and man's stubbornness as well, so that God could use him to do whatever he wanted.
He had foresight and knowing. He just felt that the Lord was going to use him to deliver the brothers and the sisters, his race, out of Egypt. And so he went so far as to actually even kill one of the Egyptians. And then his own people turned against him. But that was foresight, because that actually happened. Amen?
Amen.
40 years later. And then what else?
And one of the things was that he delivered the Israelites from Egypt. On top of this, God through him caused him to write the most important books. I'm not saying that the other books are not important, but the first five books of the Old Testament, which is called the five books of Moses or the Pentateuch. When we read the New Testament, you can see that Paul was an extremely capable man, and he was given a lot of authority from the Pharisees. He was taught by Gamaliel. He had a lot of worldly learning and was very powerful in his thinking. Because of that, he was able to receive revelation from God, which enabled him to write the very intense, very deep, the Apostle Peter said, and the incredible truths, revelations, in the New Testament, not the book of Revelation that was done by John. Although Peter and John were only fishermen from Galilee, it's not being presumptuous to believe that they were among the best of fishermen, and by no means they were not stupid or just ordinary people. One great thing that we need to learn, if you want to be in spiritual service, is that man needs to cooperate with God. It's true that God can do all things and does all things in and through us here. Yet in all things, God needs us human beings to cooperate with him.
Right. God needs a body. That's why he sent Christ. That's why Christ, as the life-giving Spirit, has entered us. We need a head, and Christ is our head, and the head, the Bible says, needs a body. That's us. Amen?
Amen?
But we must be capable, and we must be people that are not deadbeats or inefficient or incapable of doing for the Lord. If you think that it's smart to be stupid, then you're more stupid than you thought. Okay, then what else? As a matter of fact, it's obvious that you don't think much, and you certainly don't think the right way. All right, then what else?
God needs us human beings to cooperate with him. That's the way he wants to operate. He could have done it otherwise, but this is the way he wants it.
And this is the way he did it. Okay? This is the way God likes to work and wants to work and will not work any other way. He works for mankind. And it's always astounded the people of the world, the human flesh, that God chooses to do his work. It doesn't make any difference if you're white or black, mocha colored, coffee colored, yellow, red, or whatever color you are, green like myself, where we have olive skin. It doesn't matter. God will use who he will, whoever will cooperate with him. Amen?
Amen.
So he's no respecter of persons, just whoever will cooperate, he'll live in you. Amen?
Amen.
But if you're too stupid to even understand what he's saying, what can he do?
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
Or if you're just helpless or refuse to be helpful, what can he do with you? It's like a flat tire. There needs to be the spirit in there. Air is the spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
And you have to be capable. So learn, don't do what other people want you to do. Do what the Lord, you feel that you have capability to do, and get into that slot there and use it for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Some people are pretty bright, but they just say, well, I don't know whether God wants what he wants me to do. If you know how to do something, use it for the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, some people are very bright, and they're very young, but they're bright. And God wants to use you, let you use that brightness. Amen?
Amen.
But don't let it get you all puffed up or anything, because you wouldn't have those natural attributes if God hadn't given them to you in the first place. But they have to be broken before God can really be successful in you. And God wants to be successful. All right? And only you are the one that can hinder him from being successful. And if you do, you'll be a castaway. Okay? Then what else?
It's impossible, and it can never be, that those who don't know how to do anything and are incapable and unwilling to do anything can be used by God. It's impossible. All the time you have people, even brothers and sisters, saying, quote, I believe that God can do it, unquote. Those type of people who say that never make any effort to cooperate with God.
Yeah, you can see them on television. Well, God already did everything, so we don't have to do anything but just praise and thank him. What good is that doing to humanity? Standing on television and waving your arms back and forth and hallelujah, hallelujah, and all this. That isn't doing anything for the Lord, amen? Or it's not doing anything for humanity either. Okay? You're just trying to exalt yourself that you're so holy, self-righteous. Thou magnificent swine. Okay, then what?
The Apostle James said that this kind of person is vain. There isn't any doubt at all that God can do it, but it's just the way that he wants to do it, is that it's necessary that we, mankind, be able to do it with his power in us. If man cannot do it, though God can, he will not do it. God always seeks those who are able and willing to cooperate with him. God works as far as a human being is capable.
Right. He can't work in you any further than you're capable. Or willing. If you're unwilling, if you're just a deadbeat, you're not going to do anything no matter what he does. And so he doesn't use you. He can't use you. He'll use somebody else. He'll take, he says to a bunch of people, he's commanding them in the Bible, do what I tell you or I'll take your candlestick away, your light. So they could do it, or he wouldn't be commanding them to do it, but they refuse to do it. Amen?
Amen.
He that has an ear, let him hear what the Lord, what the Spirit saith to the churches. He says, now either repent and do what I tell you to do, and I know you could if you wanted to, or else I'm going to pull the Spirit from you, and you're going to be forever lost. You're going to eventuate into the lake of fire. Okay, then what? Some people just have a tremendous zeal to do what the Lord wants because they're not trying to impress man. They want to impress the Lord. Amen? They want to get into heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And stay out of hell. But some people just don't see it that way. They just don't have a meeting of minds with the Lord. They're not connected. Okay, then what else?
The Lord works to the actual degree of man's desire to cooperate.
That's right. The desire has to be there. If you don't have any desire to knock yourself out for the Lord or anything, then you're a deadbeat. Well, once in a while you get inspired, where your flesh feels good and everything else. Those that are really of the Lord, it doesn't matter if you feel good or not, you're going to get up and go. Amen?
Amen.
Because you know the Lord's watching and you want to get a healing. And if you're doing what the Lord says, you'll be healed. Amen?
Amen.
You have to comply with the Lord. If we comply, then all the blessings, all the promises are ours of blessings. Okay, then what?
If you don't have any desire to cooperate, God doesn't work through you. Therefore, we must be able and we must be capable and learn to be as useful in every aspect as we can so that we are then able to and fit for God's service or use. However, it is impossible for God to use one who is merely naturally capable. Natural capability, unless that natural capability is broken, is a very big hindrance to God.
Right. You take people like H.L. Hunt or Bunker Hunt or this man that made the microchip. He's all his capabilities, unless they're broken and used for the Lord, are of no value whatsoever. Except to him, he just, he's making billions of dollars, but it's not doing anything for the Lord. Nothing. Well, I feel if I give money for to build parks for children, what does that do for children? It gives them a place to play. What does it do for their eternal souls? Nothing. Okay, so what's that guy's name that made the microchip? Okay. Bill who?
Bill
Gates. I thought you said Bill Gaither. Bill Gates, dig in your pockets and send something this way so that you can have done something in your life, the things that God has given you, give it back to the Lord. And yes, it's good to do things for kids, but it's first do it for the Lord. Let the Lord place it where he wants. It's better to save a child's soul than to give him a place to play. Amen?
Amen.
It's good to win their soul first, then give them a place to play. Amen?
Amen?
And to learn the things of the Lord and things to do for the Lord. Okay, then what else?
God can't use that person either. It must be that man must be broken. Their capability must be broken. It must pass through the fire.
Right. Now, this Bill Gates, Donald Trump, Steve Wynn, Kenny Wynn, all the people that have money, because they have attributes, they were able to amass fortunes and to do things, but they need to be broken so that their life will become meaningful in respect to eternity. All they've done something here in the world, but they're still carnal. They need to be broken and use what they have wisdom-wise, knowledge-wise, understanding-wise, and their attributes, use it for the Lord. Let it be broken. You've made enough money. Use it now for the Lord. Get saved and enter the resurrection. Enter eternal life now. Okay, then what?
It must die. It must be put to death and be resurrected that it may be used for God, by God. Natural ability is similar to anything in its raw form, such as iron. It has been said that iron is too hard and brittle, and so therefore it's not at all suitable to be used because of the fact that it is easily broken. But resurrected ability is like steel that has been wrought. It's firm but pliable, and it's suitable to be used and not easily broken or cut. Therefore, it is impossible for God to use anyone who is incapable. And
well,
it's
you're
also
too brittle. You're just too brittle. You cave in at the seams. You know, you got plenty of money. You can do anything you want. And so there's we haven't gone through any fire yet. Not spiritual fire. And so you need to be broken. Because you're made out of iron, but you need to be made out of something stronger than iron. You need to be made out of spiritual steel, like me, and the Apostle Paul, and the prophet Jeremiah, and Isaiah, and Elijah, and Enoch, and all the Apostle Paul, people that have been that are filled with the Holy Spirit, and their names live on forever. You know, all these people that were big shots in the past, you don't remember them, but the Apostle Paul and Samuel and David and all the big shots of God, and God does have big shots. Moses was a big shot. These people, their names live on forever. Amen?
Amen.
They laugh and mock at people like Rudolph Valentino and all these glorious ones. They had their heyday, they're over with. And the people today don't even know who they are. I know people, the young children don't even know who the Beatles or Elvis Presley is. And they're not going to remember you no matter how much money you've got. But if you are saved and filled with the Spirit and use what you have, your talents that God has given you for the Lord, your name will live on forever in heaven and people will thank you throughout eternity for what you've done. Just think of it. Praise the Lord and your soul will be saved and you won't be in hell. That's worth fighting for. Amen? That's for worth living for and worth dying for. What you have now is nothing. I don't care what would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lost his eternal soul. Okay, go ahead.
And it's also impossible for him to use anyone who is capable if he's not broken. Those who are usable in God's hands are those who are capable and those who have been broken. Their capability is broken. If we read in the Bible and search out all those who have been used by God throughout the annals of time, throughout all the years, all were very capable, rich in soul power, having foresight, and they were clever, while at the same time they were broken by God.
Yeah, soul power means worldly power. They're soulish, but we need to be led by the Spirit. We have to have spiritual power. Amen?
Amen.
The soulish life is the satanic life. The spiritual life is the godly life. Amen?
Amen.
But many people are very capable. You know, there's all kinds of people that are just brilliant. But if they're not brilliant in the spiritual realm, all their brilliance is in vain. It's just very vain. There's no profit to it. Think about that, you rich guys out there. Okay, you've got money, power, position, a title, what good is it when you're standing before the judgment bar of God? Say, look at, Lord, how many billions I made. Well, I wrote all these books. The Lord just say, well, so what? You know, I don't see my son Christ Jesus in you. What did you do for human souls? Where are the souls that I created you for to win? You didn't allow me to live and work in you. You never surrendered yourself unto my spirit. So therefore depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Go into everlasting hell and the lake of fire. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, then what?
Looking at the life of Jacob in the Bible, we can see that he is a very good example of what I'm talking about. As a natural man, he had man's capability and he had man's craftiness. But after a long while, he was broken by God and was able to become Israel. Then, at that time, is when he lost all his capability and craftiness. He had no confidence any longer. Yet when you read the scriptures, you see him at the time he blessed the two sons of Joseph. He was by no means confused at all. He still had that wisdom and understanding capability. His mind was very clear and had great foresight.
Right, because Joseph says, no, no, don't put your hand on this one, on the other one. He says, no, the Holy Spirit's telling me to put my hand on this one, okay? This one is the first blessed. But he's the younger of them. No, this is the one. He's the one that gets blessed. Very sharp mind. Amen?
Amen.
And it turned out that that was the right choice, you know, because God showed him. Whatever the Lord shows you, that's what is right. You're not right. The Lord is. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, Mr. Gates, or all the rest of you out there, you say, well, we don't like the way you preach to us, because you embarrass us. So we just give the money to somebody else. Well, give it to those that are not really doing a work for the Lord, and you're still going to stand judgment for it, okay? I'm the only one that is offending you, so the satanic spirit that's driving you, that's driven you all these years, so I'm the one that you should give the finances to, so because you know I'm doing the work for the Lord. Amen? Don't be confused. As bright as you are, don't start losing it now. Don't lose your brightness. Amen? Use it still, but for the Lord. Be saved. Become born again. And use your resources and your abilities for the Lord. Okay, then what?
He was able to prophesy. Moreover, the blessings which he commanded upon his children, Genesis 49th chapter, are great prophecies in the Word of God, the Bible. These words are truly great and wonderful. If Jacob had been one who was insensible or very stupid, he would not have been able to utter such words. On the other hand, if Jacob merely depended upon his natural self, his natural constitution, his natural mind, his natural thought, and his natural man's capability, he couldn't have uttered those words at all either. His natural mind, natural thought, and natural man, his human capability, were broken by God and became resurrected and spiritual. Therefore, he could be and was used by God to speak forth those great prophecies that he spoke. The same principle applies to our human understanding and our understanding of God's will. The Bible states that God's stupidity is wiser than all of man's wisdom, so he's beyond knowledge. That's how wise he is and intelligent. Therefore, in order to understand his will, human wisdom and intelligence are required.
Right, so that we can read his word and amass the hidden knowledge of God so that we, too, are able to have it. We can have the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God is located in his word. is wisdom and knowledge. So seek it with all your might, because it is your very life, amen? The life of your soul. Then what else?
A person who is stupid can never understand the will of God. Hence, neither can a person who depends only upon his own, man's, wisdom that he naturally has, his natural intelligence, can he understand the will of God. It's impossible. The thing that is necessary is that man must have intelligence, wisdom, and clear thinking, and that he puts all these beneath the cross. He takes them to the cross and leaves them there to be nailed there, allowing the cross to put the stamp of death upon them.
In other words, the Spirit of God to put the stamp of death on them. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says that the Spirit of God mortifies the deeds of the flesh. Amen? All seven aspects of it. Then what?
This kind of person has his own mind, wisdom, and thought. Yet he does not do things according to his natural self, and he doesn't do it for himself either. He's not depending upon himself at all. For that way he is used only according to God's will, for God and depending upon God all the time. He doesn't have his own aim, goals, or elements, or his own self, much less his own wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. He relies only on the mercy of God, that God will direct him. He waits on the Lord. He waits for his visitation and seeks God's revelation of his will. Only this kind of person can understand the will and purpose of God and be clear concerning his guidance. From all this we can learn that natural ability and capability do not come to an end after having been dealt with. The brokenness and putting to death by the cross is not the final thing. The real death of the cross always brings in resurrection into the spiritual realm. The Lord Jesus of Nazareth was put to death on the cross, yet Christ was resurrected. After Genesis chapter 35, Jacob was completely dealt with and finished, put to death. That natural man was gone. Yet a matured Israel came forth when the dust had settled. Therefore the dealing of the cross always brings in resurrection. The more one's capabilities are dealt with by the cross, the more capable a person becomes. The more a person's wisdom is dealt with by the cross, the wiser he will become. Furthermore, this capability and wisdom are only in resurrection. For this reason, on one hand, we encourage people to read and study the Bible, to exercise their mind for foresight, and to learn how to behave as human beings, how to handle things, and how to work to the end that they may be capable. On the other hand, I always tell people that education as well as capability are useless. When I say this, I mean that these must be broken and become resurrected. These two aspects apparently contradict each other, but for me they are practical and absolutely necessary. People will ask, quote, how can you differentiate the natural ability needed from resurrected ability? How can we tell which is which? Which is inherent that we automatically, naturally have, that ability, and which is the ability that has been broken, unquote. There are these 7 points of comparison. We're going to look first at natural ability. First of all natural ability is selfish, and all its schemes and devices are for the sake of self. Secondly, all natural ability is mingled with the elements of flesh and temper. Therefore, when it is disapproved by God, it becomes provoked. Thirdly, all natural ability involves man's craftiness and man's maneuvering. Fourthly, all natural ability contains pride and makes a person feel capable, thereby resulting in boasting and self-glorification. Fifthly, all natural ability is not under the control of the Holy Spirit and is extremely daring in doing anything. Sixth, all natural ability has no regard for the will of God. It acts entirely according to one's own self-will. Seventh, natural ability does not rely on God and does not have to rely on God, they think, but relies wholly upon themselves, wholly upon self. Resurrection ability is exactly the opposite. Firstly, all ability which has been broken and resurrected is not for self, neither does it contain any element of self. Secondly, all resurrected ability is devoid of the flesh. Thirdly, resurrected ability does not scheme. Fourthly, resurrected ability, as the Bible says, is never proud, nor does it boast in itself. Fifthly, resurrected ability is controlled by the Holy Spirit and does not dare to act according to our wishes. Sixth, resurrected ability is for the will of God, not one's self. Seventh, resurrected ability relies only upon God, and not at all, it would never dare to act according to itself, even though they might be truly able and capable, just as David was able to kill Saul, but he didn't do that. He didn't act according to what he wanted. Maybe in his heart he did, but he knew in his heart his desires were much stronger to do only what God wanted to do. David was capable. So if you're clear now concerning the difference between natural and resurrected abilities, you're going to wait to examine yourself in your experience. When you exercise your ability, is it for yourself or God? Are you making decisions on your own and acting individually and egocentrically? Or are you able to stand the criticism of others and suffer opposition from everybody? Do you employ schemes or do you look to the power of God? Do you give glory to God or do you boast in glorying in yourself? Are you controlled by the Holy Spirit or are you acting the way you would like to according to your will, the way you wish? Do you fulfill your own desires or do you care for the will of God? Do you attempt to achieve the goal by any means or do you commit all things into the hand of God? Into the Holy Spirit, trusting God for just the way that He wants it to be. Are you dependent solely on your own resources, or are you relying on God with fear and trembling? If you examine yourself strictly, you will discover that in your living and service, many areas may still be in the natural form, in the natural constitution, and of the old creation or old man. Therefore, you cannot bring forth fruit of the Spirit, fruit of resurrection. Therefore, dealing with the natural constitution, the natural man, is the deliverance which you need most.
Praise the Lord. Well, that was part two of the natural constitution contrasted with resurrection. And we'll be doing part three tomorrow, Lord willing. And then also chapter 10 of 2 Samuel. And we'll have some more letters for you. So until tomorrow, walk in the Spirit, amen, and thou shalt not fulfill the lust of the flesh thereof, amen?
Amen.
Because you never know, none of us do, when we're going to go out into eternity. And we don't want to for 1 minute, 1 second, to be out of the Spirit. We want to be walking in the Spirit because there's no condemnation to those that walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit of God. Meditate on these things both day and night, and you'll be like the tree that's planted by the living waters, the Spirit of God. Until chapter 10, 2 Samuel, part 3 of the natural man or the natural constitution. This is Tony Alamo. Pastor Tony Alamo, I want to be your pastor if I'm not. I say, praise the Lord, and God bless you.